right, guys. Happy Friday, everybody. Reached the end of another week. The weekend has arrived. It's actually a pretty decent day out here. I hope it is your way. We're supposed to have a pretty nasty storm last night, but it turned out to be mostly rain, which is cool. Actually, most of the snow that we did have has now melted again, but that just means we're going to probably get another fresh dumping. That's usually how it goes. But at least last night wasn't what they were talking that it was going to be. So that's cool. Nice blue sky out. Looks nice anyway. It's not warm, but relatively speaking, it's not bad. Anyway, but the weather is, once again, pretty screwy, isn't it? All over the planet. What do you think is going on with that, kids? You want a good hint? Go back in my archives. I forget when I did this now, back over the summer sometime. But you can just look in the 2000 archives and just search for the word weather. It'll take you right to it. Did a whole show on that, weather modification. You can bet, guys, like everything else, they're screwing up. They're screwing up that, too. All by design. Anyway, just to mention once again, guys, RBN's one of our biggest supporters here, Onesti Investments. If you're looking into investing your money, RBN's sponsor, Onesti Investment, Onesti Investment Advisors, looks after your investments. You can use Onesti Investment Advisors to invest for retirement, to fund education for your kids, to lower taxes, to reduce investment risk, enhance return potential, increase retirement income, of course, and protect against the falling dollar. Obviously, the dollar today is falling. So this is something to look into, guys. Look for some way to stabilize your wealth, what little you may have left, because it's not stable, and it's becoming more and more unstable as time goes on. So to look into this more, go to www.onestiadvisors.com. That's www.onestiadvisors.com. Or you can call them at 505-296-2453. Again, that's 505-296-2453. Anybody who's interested in reading any of my books, Piercing the Fog of 9/11, The New World Disorder, An Alternative View of the Distant Past, and I've got quite a few other books there posted on lulu.com. You can just go to lulu.com. When you're there, just type my name in, Charles Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. And you can see all my available titles pop up on one page. If there's anything there that you're interested in reading but you just can't afford it right now because money is scarce, and it is scarce, you know, just drop me an email at truthhurtsradio@aol.com. Just let me know what title or titles you're interested in, and I'll go ahead and send them to you if money's a problem. And again, Hertz is spelled H-E-R-T-Z. truthhurtsradio@aol.com. Appreciate all the emails, you know, that I've been getting over the months. There isn't a day that goes by I'm not getting multiple emails from people, and, you know, mostly positive, almost all of them, in fact, just a few small handful of pieces of trash that, you know, that send me negative emails. But, you know, those are people that have their head permanently wedged up their hind parts and amaze me that they can even breathe. But anyway, you know, it's people that usually argue ridiculous points, like, you know, trying to favor this trash bag or that trash bag. There's no defending neocons, guys, or Zionists, or any of these other scumbags pushing for the New World Order. Everything they do, everything they touch, everything they endorse is absolute, complete evil. So if you endorse it, you must be absolute, complete evil yourself. All right, guys, short break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
All right, guys. Back to the radio. Kind of continuing along with yesterday's discussion. This is like a natural extension of it. Talked yesterday, of course, about unusual animal behaviors, animal intelligence. Today we're going to talk about, well, I guess you could call it plant behaviors and plant intelligence. you don't think there's such a thing? Well, listen in. You might change your mind. Plants are far more amazing than what most people give them credit for. But before I get into that, I just wanted to mention, yeah, next week, you know, we're going to go back onto some important political themes. I'm kind of going to be bouncing back and forth here over the next couple weeks, covering a variety of different topics. Like I said, I'm not planning to schedule any guests for the duration of my stay here at RBN. Put together a lot of shows on different topics, you know, that I want to cover in these last couple weeks here. You know, there's quite a few more that I'm just not going to, you know, have time to fit in. I wish I did, because, you know, it was hard for me to go through and select which topics, you know, to discuss and which not to. But, you know, I tried to balance it out. You know, half politics and half non-politics. You know, as you know from listening to my show, I have a lot of different interests. And believe me, I prefer talking about stuff like this. This is far more interesting. To me, this is the real world. not the political world. That's the artificial reality that they've created for us. And I don't even like talking about it. I prefer not to. But unfortunately, we have to, because things that are going on today are so serious. If we don't talk about it and expose it, they are going to have their way, guys. They are going to get their little new world order. They are going to enslave the world under the most despotic system of tyranny that mankind has ever known. I hope and pray that's not the case. I hope they fail and fail miserably. And I'll tell you right now, they will fail if we can just wake people up and get them motivated. You know, we haven't reached the point of no return. It's not too late to stop them and stop them peacefully. But, you know, if something doesn't happen quick, folks, it's just going to get real, real ugly. So that's why I talk about politics, the urgency of it. We're in a desperate situation. We're in a lot of trouble. And I'm not just talking here in this country. This is a global problem. The world leaders of most every country on the planet today are absolute pieces of scum, trash, and are a part of this global conspiracy for world domination. If you want to know the countries that are exceptions to that rule, just look at the list of axis of evil countries. You see, this is how tyrants work. They have to demonize those that don't go along with them, that don't play their game, make them look like they're the enemy to justify going after them, when in reality it's they themselves that are the enemy. Oh, what a twisted world. But guess what, guys? It's always been this way. We just seem to somehow have forgotten that. Well, that's not by accident either, of course. They've dumbed down our education system to prevent us from knowing how human nature has always worked. But if you do your own independent investigations into history, you find out that, what's happening today is just the norm. It's always been this way. All through human history, guys, leaders have always been corrupt. Leaders have always lied to their people and have always sought to get more and more power, more and more control. But they've only been able to do it when they can deceive their public and get them to think that their actions are something entirely different from what they actually are. And so that's what they're doing. Through propaganda, they're fooling you into thinking that everything they're doing is for your interest, for your good, for the betterment of your life and your family and your future. When in reality, all they're doing is destroying your life, destroying your future, destroying your family, destroying your kids, destroying your economy, destroying your government, destroying your freedoms. Man, oh man, oh man, this country better wake up and fast. But anyway, let me get back to the subject at hand for today, talking about plants. I remember back in the late 70s, I think it was 1978, my seventh grade math teacher. Now you know how old, what an old bag I am. But I remember sitting in class, this story always stuck with me. Of course, my science teacher was good at telling stories anyway, but this particular story really grabbed me and fascinated me. And of course, years later, I wound up, looking into this matter, and sure enough, this story is, to this day, baffles scientists. They don't have an answer for what she had relayed to us. She told the story of how back in 1976, it was 2 years prior to that time, a student had won a National Science Fair contest by conducting a most simple yet ingenious experiment, and an experiment that addressed a most mind-boggling scientific mystery, something that, most people wouldn't even think about. All he did was he took six plants, three he placed in one room, three he placed in another. He soundproofed the walls separating the two rooms. And in one room, he made sure that all of them had the same stimuli. You know, they were exposed to the same amount of sunlight. He gave them the same water the same times of day. They had the same soil. Everything was all the same. The only difference is, in one room, he played soft classical music, and in the other room he played loud, heavy rock and roll music. And after whatever it was, I forget, 3 months, 6 months, you know, his objective was to see if there was a difference. Did the plants respond differently listening to these two different types of music? And what he found at the end of the period of, you know, that he ran the experiment, again, I forget if it was 3 months or 6 months, but interestingly, the plants that were grown in the 24-hour a day, 7 day a week environment of rock and roll had withered and, for the most part, had actually died. They were very, you know, the ones that hadn't died were very sickly looking. They were slumped over and at the point of death, if not dead yet. But the ones in the classical music room were flourishing. You know, their branches were sturdy. The leaves were nice and moist and green, and I mean, the plants were just flourishing. So again, he won the National Science Fair contest for that experiment. It did demonstrate, and many other subsequent experiments have been performed, which corroborate this one, that plants do in fact respond to music. Now, what does this tell us about plants? You know, were they merely responding to vibrations? Or was there something else going on here? Even if it was just a vibrational response, what drove it? Do plants have, you know, some sort of consciousness? Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But as we go through this discussion, I think you'll see that that may very well be the case. Not consciousness as we know it, but plants do respond to their environment, guys, in ways that force you to rethink how plants think, or if plants think. I don't see how you can conclude that they don't when you hear some of the things that we're going to be discussing here. But already we can see from this one experiment something very strange is going on here. What would cause, you know, these plants to respond so differently in these two different rooms? Again, they were exposed to all the same, you know, same amount of sunlight, given the same water. Everything was exactly the same. This kid made sure that these plants were all given the same treatment, the same care. Again, the only difference is the music. Anybody who wants to read up on this further, by the way, a good book, it's now out of print, but you can still get it from Amazon or from eBay, is Peter Tompkins' book, The Secret Life of Plants. It's fascinating. Absolutely mind-blowing book. It was written back in the 70s, so much of the research is, you know, decades old, but it's a good launching point. Much of the findings there, of course, are still a mystery today, still remain unexplained. But, you know, I'm sure there's been a lot more experimentation that's been done even since then. So, you know, you can start with that and then branch off and dig it into it even further. In fact, I'll be sharing later an interesting quote from just this past year from a scientist up in Canada who made some remarkable discoveries. You know, it's amazing the stuff we take for granted. You know, we have plants in our homes. We have them in our backyards. They're all around us. And we just tend to take them for granted. We just think that they're a bunch of dumb organic materials, you know, that don't have much more intelligence than a rock. But that's not the case, guys. There is some degree of intelligence with plants, as we're going to see. You know, do they have a consciousness like we do? Well, I don't think so. But they do have what has to be called consciousness to some degree. Anyway, but before I get more deep into that, let's talk about some other mysteries of plants. Plants, the plant world, I should say, is loaded with mysteries. For example, how does a sunflower lock onto the sun and track its journey across the sky through the course of a day? Where did it learn to do this? Why? What causes it? You know, scientists will say, oh, it's just a response to the sunlight. You know, the warmth of the sun strikes the plant, and, you know, they'll go off into this diatribe. But the truth is, they really don't know. They want you to think they know, but they don't know. They'll tell you that animals do things because of their, you know, an autonomous response. You know, it's a survival instinct. Oh, really? Well, yesterday we blew that out of the water, didn't we? The same with plants, guys. Stick with us. Short break. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Hey guys, back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charles Giuliani. You know, this is an experiment you can try on your own. You can do the music thing or try this. Just simply, you know, talk to your plants and see if it makes a difference. You know, I don't know if you want to be mean to your plants, but get a control group, one that's, you know, you don't talk to at all. Have another group that you talk to pleasantly. Have another one you yell at. I bet you'll see a difference. There have been many, in fact, another experiment that comes to mind. I think this might be in my notes later, so I'll have to watch for that and make sure I don't repeat myself. But here's a fascinating experiment. This was related in the book, the Peter Tompkins book, The Secret Life of Plants. He took, well, not him, but some researchers that he talked about. They took this one plant and they literally murdered, if you will, another plant in front of it. These were two plants that had been raised side by side, you know, in a greenhouse. And they pulled it, you know, its buddy out of its pot. And, you know, started pulling leaves off of it. They took a cigarette lighter and they burned some of the... This is absolutely fascinating what happened. In fact, the guy who did this experiment, now that I remember, he was a former FBI metal, lie detector expert. And he got the idea, you know, to try this with plants. He was curious to see if plants would respond the same way humans do when hooked up to the, you know, the electrodes. So he put some of these receptors on the electrodes or whatever on the plant's leaves. And to his amazement, when the other plant was being, quote, murdered, you know, and they were burning the leaves and yanking leaves off, the other plant responded. You know, the needle started going haywire, just like what happens when those electrodes are attached to people and they get, you know, stressed. So the person that did it, it wasn't the regular, you know, caretaker of the greenhouse that did this. It was a friend of his, you know. So he had his friend leave the room after he took the plant and, you know, threw it in the trash. Then the regular groundskeeper or whatever, you know, he came in and he watered the other plant and it was fine. There was no register on the needle. The plant went back to its normal state. It had calmed down, if you will. But then a few minutes later, he left the room and he had his friend come back in that had just, you know, massacred the other plant. And guess what happened? The needle started going wild once again. Now, what do you make of that, folks? This plant, obviously, I don't care what anybody says, this plant recognized this person and was very uncomfortable when this person came in the room, probably frantic. Sounds crazy, but these experiments have been performed over and over again and have produced the same results. This guy, again, he was a you know, high-ranking FBI agent. He was the top analyst of you know, the of lie detectors. And he is, you know, over the years he did hundreds of experiments like this, and plants do respond to you know, to extreme circumstances. They actually appear to have emotions like humans and respond the same way. At least the needle responds the same way to plants that it does to humans. So do with that what you will, but you know, keep in mind, the scientists who tell us that plants don't think, quote-unquote, and I'm not saying they think like humans, but there is some awareness there, some type of, quote, consciousness, if I can use that term. And there also appears to be some type of nervous reaction. They don't have nervous systems like we do, but something akin to it. They give the same kind of nervous, quote, responses to stressful stimuli. But do keep in mind that the scientists who insist that plants don't have emotions or, you know, don't think or can't respond to their surroundings, the scientists who would have you believe that are the same ones who want you to think that animals don't have emotions, that they don't have compassion and love and show concern and selfless acts of, you know, of compassion. We talked yesterday about, you know, some animals, many animals, who risk their very lives to save others, humans or other animals. You know, the mother cats will raise baby rabbits and on it goes. You know, so obviously those scientists are full of baloney. Animals do have emotions. They do show compassion. So for the same reason they're wrong about what they say regarding animals not having these traits, you know, how do we know they're not wrong about plants? It appears plants do, in fact, to some degree, have some sort of consciousness and do react to stressful situations. It's been demonstrated. Anyway, let me continue on here. Insect-devouring sundew plants are absolutely fascinating, guys. Believe it or not, they know the difference between organic and inorganic materials. For example, you know, the Venus flytrap. These are the plants that have these little, what do you call them? Little pods that capture flies. You know, they have a nice, pleasant scent that attracts flies, and when a fly flies in, boom, the thing snaps shut, and they actually eat the juices of the fly. They suck the juices out of the fly. Got some interesting stuff to share about that when we get back. Stick with us, guys.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Earth Radio. It's your host, Charles Giuliani. So, coming back now to Venus flytraps. I'm sure you've all seen them or at least heard of them, but they got these, like, spring-loaded, if you will, little levers or hinges. And they, you know, they sit there open, waiting for a fly to be lured in. Once they go in, attracted by the hormones or the scent, you know, that the plant gives off, it's a sweet smell. Once the fly flies in, boom, they instantly spring shut. And in between them, there are these little spike things that crisscross, or not crisscross, but interlock, like teeth, if you will, so the fly can't escape. And from there, it's a pretty nasty way to go. Thank God I'm not a fly. I wouldn't want to go that way. You're slowly ingested. I mean, the plant will literally squeeze and suck the juice out of you. And then, of course, the shell, at later, the thing will spring back open, and the shell will, you know, blow away in the wind. But, you know, a meat-eating plant, if you will. But what's so interesting, though, is you can take a small little pebble and drop it into one of these pods. The plant won't budge. You can take a little, you know, piece of a stick or something, and it won't budge. Now, a stick is organic, but the plant won't move because it recognizes that it's not something it can eat. It'll only move if you drop a bug in there, or guess what? Even if you put a little piece of beef, a little piece of meat in there, it'll snap shut and recognize that as food. Now, how in the world does the plant know how to distinguish? You know, again, this isn't just some natural reflex response with a thing of snapping shut just because something touches the little cilia type hairs inside of it. And just as a, you know, a natural reaction, it just springs closed. No. This thing only springs closed when organic edible materials touch it. So once again, I have to ask, how does the plant know the difference between a rock, you know, a little pebble, a piece of stick or wood or bark or something, or say an ant or a piece of beef? How does the plant know? Incredible, guys. I'll let you figure that out for yourself, but they do know. You know, we might not know how they know, but they do know. So, I mean, can you deny that plants must obviously have some type of consciousness? Again, they don't have a nervous system. They don't have brains like we do, but they do have the ability to distinguish living from non-living things. A sunflower knows to follow the sun across the sky. You know, plants do respond to music. They respond to emotions, to being yelled at. They respond to seeing another plant being massacred and torn to shreds in front of it. Incredible. How is it? Here's another one. This is interesting. Flowering plants that depend on the wind, you know, to blow their seeds around and have them be transplanted, you know, are actually quite unpleasant to look at. They don't have pretty or sweet-smelling scents. Nothing. They're you know, drab, dull-looking, even ugly. Yet plants that depend on insects for, you know, cross-pollination to propagate the species, those plants are highly attractive. They're pleasant to look at. They're pleasant to smell. Even their touch is very soft, very silky. How did that come about? Of course, now we're delving into an earlier discussion I had months back when I talked about, proofs of a creator was the title of that show. I probably should have included this in that show as well, because this does, you know, for me anyway, hint or even scream loudly at a creator behind all of this. Why? Think about it. How is it that plants that, you know, require insects are attractive? You know, the smell, the scent attracts them. The colors attract them. The ones that don't need bugs, they don't need to attract, insects, so they don't have a nice scent. They're ugly to look at. Just something to think about. A lot more to the plant kingdom, guys, than what meets the eye, or the ear, or the nose, for that matter. Here's one. As a tree grows upward, it also proportionately grows outward, extending its width to accommodate the accumulating weight, almost, you know, to counterbalance itself. The question is, how is it that a tree, or any other plant for that matter, knows to do this? If a tree just, you know, sprouted straight up and didn't also sprout outward, you know, it would lose its balance. Some trees don't sprout out as much as others, like, you know, conifers, for example, but they don't need to because their trunks grow pretty straight. But most other trees grow very crooked, you know, their trunks are bent and twisted, and so they need their branches to branch outward as a counterbalance. You know, how do the trees know how to do that? Is there some consciousness there? How about a tree's roots, guys, especially those of a weeping willow? Some of you who have had weeping willows in your backyard will surely know what I'm talking about. In fact, you probably chopped them down by now like I had to. They can be pretty nasty. But nevertheless, very interesting. They are able to push their way through metal pipes in their search for water. Now, how do they know that water is in the pipes in the first place? And how are they able to actually penetrate these pipes? They push their way. They force their way. They know water's there, and they'll wrap around the pipe and squeeze it. Literally, they squeeze the pipe, knowing that that action will cause it to crack and that they'll be able to penetrate into the pipe and get at the moisture. Once again, scientists can insist there's no, quote, consciousness or intelligence of any kind there, but that seems to indicate otherwise to me. Again, just like the animal kingdom. Oh, no, there's no intelligence. Animals just respond to their environment out of pure instinct, the survival instinct. No, they don't. We proved that yesterday. Well, again, how about with plants, guys? Is a plant just going by instinct? How does it know? I mean, it literally must know that there's water in those pipes. It goes after them and it squeezes them. It knows that if it squeezes the pipe, it'll get through eventually, crack the thing, and break. And they do. They do it all the time. But again, weeping willows are especially known for this. There's been instances where, they found willows that had grown, 20, 30 feet up inside a pipe. The roots had branched out into the, and it doesn't take very long for them to do it either. Anyway, some roots have been known to wrap themselves around even PVC piping. Again, they'll squeeze that and find their way to the moisture. How about flowers, guys, who open in the morning and close in the evening? How do they know to do that? And what facilitates that? Again, is it just a natural response, or are they actually taking some initiative there? Are they, quote, consciously moving, or is it just a response? Well, again, you might argue, no, it's just a natural response. The sun's warmth touches them, and it triggers autonomous system, but we've just talked about several examples where plants, for example, can distinguish between living and non-living material. That's not just responding to the environment. There has to be some conscious differentiation taking place to determine, when the Venus flytrap will snap shut only to living, to organic materials. How does it know how to distinguish that? That's not an autonomous response. There's some calculations going on. There's some, distinguishing ability there. Anyway, moving on here. Trees shed their leaves, guys, every fall, and, of course, regrow them in the springtime. Now, how do the trees know? Seriously. When trees start shedding their leaves, it's not cold yet. In fact, this year we had the foliage in full bloom, if you will, while it was pretty hot outside. Nothing to indicate, temperature-wise, that winter was right around the corner. Do trees have a built-in clock? Whatever the mechanism is, we don't have an answer for it. But somehow, faithfully, every year they know. Oh, how about animals? Coming back to animals that hibernate, how do they know? Usually when animals go into hibernation, it hasn't even snowed yet. It's just like clockwork. Anyway, but again, I have to ask the question, doesn't this imply some kind of environmental awareness on the part of the plants? How about bamboo? Now, these are interesting. Bamboo is the fastest growing plant on Earth, increasing its height by as much as 3 feet in a single day. Did you know that? 3 feet in one day some bamboo plants can grow. What is it about bamboo that makes this plant grow so much faster than other plants? And again, why does it grow so fast? Is there some reason that we have yet to comprehend why bamboo, more than any other plant, grows so fast like that? You could almost sit there and watch the thing grow. Anyway, let's talk some more about the physical makeup of plants. Truly amazing stuff, guys. When the earth is dry, the roots of a plant naturally turn downward, deeper into the ground, toward moisture. Stretching is in the case of the lowly alfalfa plant as far as 40 feet, developing an energy that can bore right through solid concrete, or as I said before, metal pipes or whatever. But the alfalfa plant can actually go down as deep as, or spread out as far as 40 feet. No one has yet counted the roots of a tree, but a study of a single rye plant indicated a total of over 13 million rootlets with a combined length of 380 miles. On these rootlets of a rye plant are fine root hairs, kind of like the equivalent of cilia in humans, like what you have lining your ear passageway. These root hairs are estimated to number into the billions, around 14 billion it's been estimated. That would give them a total combined length of 6,600 miles, which is almost the diameter of the Earth. Again, it's amazing the stuff we take for granted. We think of plants as relatively simple forms of life, right? But that's a laugh. There's nothing simple about a plant. As simple as they seem to be compared to more complex living organisms, like, you know, a frog or a cat or a human, nevertheless, you know, they're very complicated systems. Man doesn't know, you know, man can't even explain some of the basic functions of a plant, how it works. They don't have a clue. It's like simple cells. You know, they use the term simple cells. There's really no such thing as a simple cell. The simplest quote-unquote cells are extremely complex, but they call them simple because compared to, you know, some other cells, they seem in comparison simple, but they're really not. You know, again, the simplest quote-unquote cell is very complicated. You know, you get a microscope out and you start looking at these things, and there's nothing simple about it. And man, you know, with all the technology he's developed and all the discoveries man has made in recent decades, recent centuries, we still don't have even the slightest clue. We haven't even finished mapping the human genome. And even though it's mapped, what good is that? That's only the, you know, the first step in a journey of 10,000 miles. I mean, there's so much going on in just the tiniest cell. It's amazing. We really do take stuff for granted. You know, I mean, the stuff we do on a daily basis, we just do it without even thinking about it. But if you stop to realize the processes that are involved in even the most, quote, simple tasks about eating an apple, you don't think anything about it, right? You just take a bite out of it, chew it, swallow it, done. It's going to do its thing, go through your system, provide nutrients, and, you know, later you'll pass it out. But what goes on in the meantime, from the time you've eaten it before you pass it out, what's happening in your body? Do you realize the complicated chemical processes that are involved just to digest an apple? Anybody who hasn't read Carl Sagan's book, Cosmos, you might want to get that book. He has a whole section in there dedicated to that. He has a chart, too, where he breaks down the chemical processes involved in breaking down an apple. I'm surprised that man was an atheist. I really don't understand that. With all that he knew about the complexities of just digesting an apple, how he could think that that's the result of some freak chance accident is beyond me. Actually, it had to involve a series of millions of freak chance accidents for everything to come together right to produce a, you know, a human being. But when you look at what's involved in human digestion or any animal's digestive system, you know, breaking things down and converting them into various chemicals so the body can use them, and it's unbelievable. And yet, guess what? Plants do the same thing. They draw up water, and that water contains dissolved minerals. The plant utilizes those minerals, chemically converts them. It also, of course, takes in sunlight, you know, photosynthesis, and converts it into chlorophyll, and, you know, that's how the plant gets its food. A lot is going on there. And just like we don't think about eating an apple, the plant doesn't necessarily think about what it's doing with all these chemical processes, but yet the plants do it all the time, every day. How? Now, that's interesting. As intelligent as, you know, humans like to think that they are, we don't do anything to consciously digest food, right? But yet the body still does it. Well, the same with plants. Plants don't do, obviously don't think about digesting, you know, the minerals that they take in, but they do it anyway. So on that sense, humans aren't much more intelligent than plants, are they, when it comes to digestion? You see what I'm saying? Plants can automatically, you know, take in nutrients and utilize them just like we do. We automatically do it. Our body just does it. We don't think about it. It's a good thing we don't have to, because we probably wouldn't have a clue. I'm sure we wouldn't have a clue. But yet, while at the same time our body does these things autonomously, we do have brains and we can think, right? Well, why not plants? Plants do a lot of things autonomously just like we do. But how do we know they don't have abilities to think? We've already been presenting some evidence that certainly does seem to indicate that. Anyway, moving on. The root of a plant is a water pump, if you will, with water acting as a universal solvent, raising elements from the root to the leaf, evaporating and falling back to earth to act once more as a medium for this chain of life. You know, when they're done with the water evaporates, goes up into the clouds, and falls back as rain. You know, that continuous cycle over and over again. Amazing how nature works. It's all precision mechanics. All right, guys, short break. Be right back.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Your host, Charles Giuliani, talking about anomalies in the plant kingdom. We got a caller. Before I go to him, though, I just want to mention this. I made reference to this Canadian scientist, this researcher, earlier. So in light of what we're talking about now, let me bring this into play here, just in case I don't get to that, because that's, I think, toward the end of my notes, and I'm probably not going to get to all of this today. As usual, but once again, if anybody wants the transcripts, email me, truthhurtsradio@aol.com. Be happy to send this off to you. All kinds of weird stuff in here. This scientist, what she did, And again, this is very interesting. This is something that you would never know, never, unless you actually thought. I don't even know how she got the idea to do this, but it's fascinating. And to her delight, she found out that she was right. I guess certain behaviors with carrots that she had noticed over the years raising carrots in her garden gave her this idea to, you know, to experiment to see if her suspicions were correct. And sure enough, she was right. Other scientists have investigated this. This was in the journal Science, or Science Daily, or whatever, back in August, this past August. And she made world headlines with this, and other scientists have come forward and corroborated her findings. She took some carrot seeds that came from the same mother carrot, if you will, and she planted them all in one pot. Then she took carrot seeds from several different mother carrots and put them all together in another pot. And to her amazement, or actually I guess she wasn't so amazed because this is what she had suspected she would find, the carrots that grew in the pot from the same mother, if you will, whose seeds came from the same carrot, had their roots grow straight downward. But the carrots that came from a different mother, you know, different carrots, their roots were all interwoven. In other words, what she discovered was carrots, when they're growing in a pot with their siblings, if you will, they won't compete with each other, you know, for turf. Their roots will go straight down. But if they're with other strangers, they will compete, quite aggressively so, and have their roots grow all intertwined. She has repeated this experiment. You know, she didn't just do this once and then announce her findings. Over several years, she did this with thousands of not only carrots, but other plants as well. She's found this to be the case with every plant that she's ever tested. Plants will not compete with siblings. They recognize their siblings, if you will. It's pretty bizarre, but this is stuff that they're finding, guys. I'm telling you. You know, again, if you request this, the transcripts, you can see, you know, where I got it from. You can verify it yourself. I quote several paragraphs from this article that was in Science or Science Daily, whatever it was. Anyway, but you know, along that same line too, you've got. Let's see. Well, actually, you know what? I'll save that until after the call because that's going to go off on a tangent. Let me take this caller. We've got Jim in Louisiana. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Yeah, thank you very much. I was listening to you on the KU-band satellite. Absolutely amazing, amazing facts you're laying out there. And it just verifies, you know, my deep-felt feelings for nature all my life, and also give me extra strength to protect these native ecosystems out here that are being clear-cut. Can you imagine what all these different plants and animals are feeling when they see the shock of a clear-cut coming through a native forest?
Oh, it's great stuff. I'll tell you, I love paying attention to stuff that most people ignore. That's why I found out 9/11 was an inside job.
Yeah, you know, I hear people like Derry Brownfield saying, shoot, shovel, and shut up, you know.
I tell you what, Jim, I got to go to a break. You want to hold on?
Sure.
Okay, stick with us, guys. Be right back.
Since 1988.